You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next. On this Long Innings podcast, we take a look at upsets by associates over full members in World Cups.
Sport is most gripping as a contest when the skill levels and the capabilities of the two competing teams are almost even. If one team is much superior to the other, it almost, you know, detracts from the occasion. Even die-hard fans of a team will feel shortchanged when their favourite team trounces a, you know, less fancied opponent. While mismatches or bad days are inevitable in team sport, a one-sided contest doesn't really make for great viewing. Now, Test cricket was first played in 1877, and until 1928, only three countries participated at the highest level. Gradually, the number of teams increased, and by 1932, India became the sixth team to play Test cricket, and Pakistan soon followed suit in 1952. Sri Lanka got Test status in 1982 and even went on to win the World Cup in 1996. They first participated in the 1979 World Cup as an associate nation. Except for England and Australia, who played the inaugural test in 1877, and South Africa, which followed suit in 1889, all teams took a bit of time to make their mark in the international arena. For a team to succeed, it needs exposure at the highest level and a sound cricketing structure in its domestic circuit. On Long Innings today, we take a look at the teams outside the top rankings. Associate nations have always been an important part of cricket, but they've been left out of the 2019 World Cup. What exactly is going on with the ICC's associate nations? Inducting a team at the highest level of cricket even before it's ready is counterproductive, as it doesn't really make for good viewing and thus doesn't arouse spectator interest. Moreover, a new team's players can get demoralized if they receive a pounding from a much superior opponent. Even sponsors are generally reluctant to invest in a lopsided contest. But with the advent of T20 cricket, the ICC has hit upon the solution to globalizing the game. As of 30th of April 2018, there were 18 nations whose matches were accorded T20i status. They were Scotland, Netherlands, UAE, Nepal, Hong Kong and Oman, and the 12 full member countries. Until the 22nd of June in 2017, the ICC contained 105 members, out of which 12 were full members, some associate members, and a third category existed called affiliate members. As of the 22nd of June in 2017, the affiliate category was abolished and all the remaining 93 members became associates. Among the 12 full member nations, Sri Lanka, Zimbabwe, Bangladesh, Afghanistan and Ireland played as associates under the ICC before becoming full members. So there is a meritocracy at work, and as of Jan 1st, 2019, all 2020 matches between the 105 member nations, even the associates, have been awarded T20i status. Now, while the ICC has to be commended for increasing the number of cricketing nations to be given T20i status, their decision to reduce the number of nations in the 2019 World Cup to just 10 is, you know, surprising. There have been 11 World Cups prior to this, and every edition prior to the 2019 edition has had at least one associate nation. In as many as 9 out of the 11 editions, there have been instances of associate nations defeating one of the full member nations. If you recall, in the 2003 edition, there were 4 upsets by associate nations over full members. The World Cup in 2015 had an unprecedented 16 teams. Let me quickly tell you about the list of upsets by associates over full members in World Cups. Sri Lanka over India in 1979. Zimbabwe over Australia in 1983, Zimbabwe over England in 1992, Kenya over West Indies in 1996, Bangladesh over Pakistan in 1999, Kenya over Sri Lanka in 2003, Kenya over Bangladesh again in 2003, same year Kenya over Zimbabwe. Then in 2007, you have Ireland versus Pakistan and Bangladesh. Then you had in 2011, Ireland over England. You also had in 2015, Ireland over West Indies, and in the same year, Ireland over Zimbabwe. So as you see, every edition, barring the inaugural one in 1975 and the 1987 edition, there has been at least one instance of an associate team triumphing over a full member. Now, this is especially creditable when you consider the limited opportunities that they get to showcase their potential. What these upsets show is that associates deserve a place on merit. The consistent performances of Afghanistan and Ireland in the ODIs led them to being credited with test status in 2017. Practically every sport has been increasing the size of its premier global competitions. The Hockey World Cup in 2018, for example, saw an increase in teams from 12 to 16. The Football World Cup is likely to increase the number of teams from 32 to 48 for the 2026 edition. There's also talk of expanding the number of teams in the Rugby World Cup to 24 in the near future. Even the Kabaddi World Cup in 2016, considering Kabaddi is a sport dominated by India, this one had 12 teams in 2016. The reason given by ICC to reduce the 2019 World Cup to 10 teams is that they felt that including the associates, well, I should point out that at the time of the decision, Afghanistan and Ireland weren't full members. So yeah, they felt that including the associate meant that the tournament would be more like a jamboree rather than a pinnacle of the ODI game. A senior ICC source even admitted that the advantage of a 10-nation tournament is that the format would have 45 round-robin games, which would guarantee India at least 9 games. Now, while it's foolhardy and unrealistic to assume that commercial considerations should not come into play and all that, that should not be the only criteria to determine the size of the tournament. But then the 2007 edition in the Caribbean was a financial disaster because of the early elimination of India and Pakistan. The qualification process for the 2019 ODI World Cup in England was unique in that the hosts and the other 7 top teams in the rankings in the ICC World Championship received a direct entry into the tournament. The remaining 2 test teams in West Indies and Zimbabwe, along with Afghanistan and Ireland, who had not yet become full members when the qualification procedure was decided, joined Nepal, Hong Kong, Scotland, UAE, Netherlands and Papua New Guinea in a qualifying tournament hosted in Zimbabwe in March of 2018. Afghanistan lost their first 3 matches, including to Hong Kong, who finished last in the tournament, meaning they are regarded as the 18th best ODI team in the world. Yet, somehow, they managed to win the tournament and take one of the 2 available qualification spots. West Indies were beaten twice by Afghanistan and would have probably lost to both Zimbabwe and Scotland had they not benefited from umpiring errors. They would have been eliminated if they had lost either of those 2 games. The UAE denied Zimbabwe a World Cup berth by winning by 3 runs at a packed Harare Sports Club. In February, Nepal needed a stunning last wicket stand of 51 to clinch a place in the qualifying tournament ahead of Canada. And now they have ODI status for the next 4 years. Never have there been so many ODI sides who are so well matched and of such high standard. This is a testament to the outstanding work done by not only the associate nations themselves, but also the ICC's development team. In 2001, Ireland finished 8th in the ICC trophy, below Denmark and the United States, and so amateur was their setup that they had to enlist a journalist as a substitute fielder. It was unthinkable that they would reach the stage where a World Cup victory over the West Indies was not even regarded as a surprise. Afghanistan, the other great associate standard bearers, did not even play their first official game until 2004. The ICC is unlikely to grant test status to any more teams in the near future, but if they do, then the next 4 nations likely to receive permanent test status on the basis of their performance in ODIs are Scotland, Netherlands, Nepal and the UAE. From June 2018 onwards, matches between the 12 full member countries and any of the other 4 I mentioned sometime back, plus Oman and Hong Kong, are considered as ODIs.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.